This being Father's Day, we won't be talking from the passage on the Sermon on the Mount, but something else came to my heart as I was meditating about what would be a good thing to focus on Father's Day 2023. What is the one, number one sin that God warns us against? Pride. And you know, pride infects all our relationships. It infects our relationship to God, and it can infect our relationships with each other in a negative way. And furthermore, this being the month in which the world wants to celebrate pride, I thought it would be very valuable to talk about what are the rewards of humility. That's what God calls us to. He rejects pride, and he says, humble yourselves and watch what God will do. So today we're going to talk about the rewards of humility, and I'd like to just have you stand with me as we read one verse, Micah 6, verse 8. We'll get it on the screen here, and you can read along with me. Let's read it together. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Let's pray. O God, we thank you for the instruction that you've given us in your love letter called the Bible. What meaningful and powerful principles come to us on how to have the best life possible. And today, as we study this subject of humility, Lord, teach us, grant to us insight, maybe even some assessment of our own lives as to this area that you'd love to see grow in each of us. And so we look forward to what you'll place on our hearts today. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to look at three different parts here. First, seven aspects of what godly humility looks like. And then seven aspects of how do we humble ourselves? How can we humble ourselves? And then thirdly, what are the rewards of humility? God has clearly indicated answers to these questions in Scripture. So we're going to read a lot of Scriptures. And I trust that the Word of God will speak to you as we look at these questions and seek the answers from God as to how this is to work in our lives. I know that one of the greatest revulsions we can have in life is when we come across someone who has a lot of pride, or arrogance is often a derivative of it. And we kind of say, right? So what does godly humility look like? Well, let's take a look. First of all, submission to the authority and sovereignty of God. Submission to the authority and sovereignty of God. You know, back in the days of David and his transition to King Solomon, his son, there was a time in which they had group prayer as they were anticipating the transition of power from one of the greatest kingdoms of Israel's history. And there's this comment from David as he was sharing in his prayer before the people, his expressions to the Lord. He talks about how God owns everything. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 and 12. This is part of David's prayer. In fact, I'll start at verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. One of the attributes of godly humility will be a recognition that everything good in my life has come from God and those he has placed to bring it to me. A submission to the authority and sovereignty of God. Probably one of the greatest collapses of our society and many societies before us has been when we come to a place in the general domain of saying there is no more God. And we place ourselves as God. And that's happening in our country today. In many different ways we see it. And pride develops out of that. And God's saying, no, no, no. I made you. I could take you away in a moment. I made the earth with a word. I could remove it with a word. And God has this amazing ownership of all of creation. Everything belongs to him. Even us. We belong to him as well. And as we recognize that, we are brought to a place of submission and of yieldedness to the God who is our creator. Humility starts with our relationship with God, and we'll say more about that in a minute. Then there's this attribute of gratefulness. The next verse in that passage says, now therefore, our God, we thank and praise thy glorious name. Gratefulness and praise. When we recognize the wonder, I read a quote this week from Elon Musk who said, it appears through all of the study of science that we may be the only place of consciousness in the entire universe. The only. And therefore we ought to admonish one another to respect and treasure life. Pretty good. Pretty good. Gratefulness and praise. Thirdly, seek to connect and identify with others. That's an attribute of humility. Pride says, well, I'm better than everybody else. I don't need anybody else. But humility says, I treasure each person God has brought into my life. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 and 16 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So easy to do in our sinful nature. One of the greatest tests of our desire to seek and connect with others is our attitude towards children. Do we love children? They're a beautiful creation of God, just like we were at one stage. Maybe we still are at one stage of life. But the wonder of children, and sometimes they can be annoying. Sometimes I could be annoying, right? But oh, how they are helpless and they need our care. Seek to connect and identify with others. Then the next one, a willingness to set aside personal preferences for the sake of unity. You know, there's sometimes in life where we run across situations where it's my way or the highway. That's not humility. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul writing, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. A willingness to set aside personal preferences for the sake of unity. Does that characterize your life? Are you, am I, demonstrating godly humility in that aspect? And then in that same chapter, Ephesians 4:32, that next point is ready always to forgive. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Are we going to mess up? Absolutely. Can we forgive one another? That demonstrates humility. Recognizing, I forgive you because I know I need forgiveness. Ready always to forgive. And then Psalm 25, verse 5, talks about having a teachable spirit. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Teachable spirit. So many times when I was in industry, I would hear those much more experienced than I was at the beginning. Later, as I put in 22 years, I affirmed what they said, that sometimes we have a lot of trouble with guys who come out of the academic institutions because they think they know it all. And they're just starting. And many times we sort of have to start over with them and tell them they know nothing so that they can actually be taught what they need to know. A teachable spirit. So critical to demonstrating humility. None of us have the answer for everything in life. And if we think we do, we're probably erring in the area of pride. Teach me. Starting with God, teach me. And then, what can you teach me through others? There's many things that God wants to teach us through others. And then lastly, a servant's heart. That's a demonstration of humility in day-to-day life, a servant's heart. Someone who wants to be served typically thinks they're above, but those who are willing to serve are demonstrating humility in a beautiful, practical way. Jesus was in conversation with his disciples, and the mother of James and John said, "Can my boys be in places of power when we get to heaven?" And of course, that caused a ripple amongst the rest. Who does she think she is? And who do these guys think that they're above us? And Jesus responded and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus is the example. The God of the universe in human flesh coming and being a simple servant. A servant's heart. These seven things, attributes of godly humility. Now, how do we humble ourselves? You know, the Bible talks about humble yourself before God. Well, how do we do that? Well, I just want to give you 7 points here. There's 3 sevens here. These are really heavenly numbers today, okay? 3 sevens. I hope that makes it easier for you to remember. How to humble oneself. Psalm 69, connect with God and thank him every day of your life. Every day. You ought to start every day. Thank you, God, for another day of life. Comes from him. He's blessed you with it. Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Every day express to the Lord that wonder of the blessing of life that keeps us aware of where it comes from, lest we think we are equal to God, which is the very temptation that Satan brought to Adam and Eve. Psalm 86, verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. And if you look into the Hebrew, all day, for I cry unto you all day. Awareness of my need for God in life. You know, you may have people around you, or there's maybe people watching who say, well, I don't need God. I don't need God. I don't even believe in God. That is the very root of pride that Satan himself demonstrated, seeking to be equal with God. And the answer to it is to recognize that God is my creator. I didn't create myself. I can't even really extend life as long as I maybe want. God is the very source of it all. And I need to humble myself and acknowledge my need of God. Starts with saying I'm a sinner. That's what separates me from God. And I need to bow my knee and say, God, forgive me as a sinner. Thank you for Jesus who died on the cross and came to pay off the price of sin, which is death. Connect with God. That's the first step in true humility. I know it fits later into the relationships around us of people, but it doesn't really make sense until we've settled the score with God, our Creator. So start with connecting with God. Become part of His family. Yield your heart and life to Him. And so many of the other aspects of humility will flow from it. Then secondly, be interested in others. Be interested in others. I don't know if you've experienced. I had the joy for a while in which I was a representative of the total employee group at Canadian Airlines. There were 16,000 of us. 7 of us were picked as representatives. And so we would often have the opportunity to sit in on the board of directors meeting in Calgary of the airline. And I would have the privilege to sit and talk with Peter Lougheed and Ron Southern, very successful men from the world's eyes. Peter Lougheed was the Premier of Alberta. And I would have the chance to just ask him questions. And he would not despise me as an average Joe. He sat there and was happy to answer my questions. He was happy to interact and have dialogue with me. And I recognized that that was an element of humility in his life, even though he was so successful. Be interested in others from every walk of life. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Are you interested in others? Do you have a heart that shows an interest in God's activity in others' lives around you by asking questions, by showing an interest in the troubles and burdens they may carry? Be interested in others. That's how we humble ourselves. Number 3, admit when you are wrong. Oh, that's hard. Oh, that's hard. Those 3 words, I was wrong, I am wrong, or 4 words, I will be wrong. Those are hard. Somehow we want to have that. Maybe it's an insecurity, isn't it? That somehow we think being right gives us worth or value. But God says, I died for you before you even knew that I came and died for you. You have value in me. And so we can admit when we're wrong. Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Admit when you are wrong. Accept that others will see it differently. Then next one, number 4, sacrifice for others. John 15, 13. Sacrifice for others. These are very practical things that we can do in our own lives to demonstrate humility and to humble ourselves. John 15, 13. Talks about greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's big. That's big. You lay down your life for your friends. Oh my. Sometimes we're not even willing to take a phone call. You know what I'm saying? That's humbling ourselves to demonstrate that kind of agape love for those that God has brought into our life. Ask for advice. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Do you like asking for advice? Sometimes we say, well, I won't agree with it anyway, so why even ask? But you know, there's things that we can learn from others by asking for advice. Proverbs 13, verse 10 says, only by pride cometh contention or strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Well-advised is wisdom. There's value in humbling ourselves to ask for advice, even at times from our kids. Ask for advice. I need your advice. I want your perspective on the issues of life as you would see it. And then number six, encourage others with compliments. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Encourage others with compliments. There's so many ways we can compliment others around us by acknowledging the things that are positive in their life. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify or build up another. That's the word edify. Build them up. Not for the sake, not through flattery, not through selfish intent, but to say, I just really appreciate this about you. Build others up. That's taking the role of humility. Number seven, hard one for some of us not so hard. Listen more, talk less. Listen more, talk less. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's demonstrating humility. That's how we can humble ourselves. It's not beating ourselves up. It's not demeaning what God has made us to be, but these are just seven. I'm sure there's many others. These are steps we can take that will build humility in our life. And then see, what are the rewards of humility? What are the rewards? Oh, God promises good rewards. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It's hard for us to imagine. There's no one in the entire universe that cares for us as much as our Creator God. No one. And when we humble ourselves, he will lift us up in due time. I think of all the things Paul went through. Paul, the writer of so many of the letters in the New Testament. The stonings, the beatings, the jails, the shipwreck, all the accusations and trouble he went through. And here we are, almost 2,000 years later, and we're reading what the Holy Spirit inspired him to write. He's being exalted or given great value in due time. And sometimes it takes a while. You invest and the seeds go in and they have to grow and terms of an analogous kind of example, and eventually there's a harvest. Eventually. Number two, you will be lifted up. James 4:10. James chapter 4, verse 10. These are promises from God. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If we humble ourselves before God, he will lift us up. Do you trust him? These are promises. Number three, the things so many seek for and have the potential of becoming elements of pride, God says, I have a different approach for you. If you will humble yourself before me, I will give them to you. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And then wisdom. Wisdom is a result of humbling ourselves. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the lowly or humble is wisdom. Wisdom from God. Number five, forgiveness and healing. Forgiveness and healing. Oh, so many times. I'm not just talking about physical healing, but I'm talking also about how spiritual healing, emotional healing, relational healing. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, a very well-known passage. And we tend to apply it on a national basis, on a large corporate scale, but it's also a promise of God personally. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If God can heal the entire land, he can also heal our little world. We just need to humble ourselves and follow the prescription that's given there. Beautiful recipe for forgiveness and healing. Then grace. God gives us grace as we humble ourselves. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, it speaks about this wonderful blessing that comes with humility. If we follow it. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I believe this verse is a power-packed cell that, or we'd say a file in the computer world, where if we unzip it, the generational battles within the church and families would be gone. Follow it. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. You know, we have our strengths by virtue of time. The Bible talks about the gray hair, talks about experience of life, talks about the things you've learned as a result of what God's taken you through, and you can share those, but that doesn't make you better. Or we have the young. I watched as our grandkids and my son were bouncing on the trampoline last night. I thought, oh man, jumping off of ladders onto the trampoline. I thought, well, those days are gone for me. I won't be doing that soon, doing backflips and forward flips. And there was a day when I would jump on the trampoline with my kids when they were little, hoping that I wouldn't hurt them and they wouldn't hurt me. But there is strength in youth, mobility, physical skill, which we lose as we get older. But that young person doesn't make you better than the older person. The Bible speaks about be humbly submitted one to another, appreciating the strengths of each, bringing it together in some wonderful, productive way that brings grace, power to do what is right. Power to do what is right. And then lastly, you will learn God's ways. If you will humble yourself, you will have the delight and the privilege and the honor of beginning to understand God's ways. Now, why? Because it says God resists the proud, but he gives all these blessings to the humble. He opens for them chapters of who he is. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek, which has an element of humility to it, will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Would you like to know God's ways? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. little couple quotes there. Not thinking less, humility. Not thinking less about yourself, but thinking about yourself less. Staying teachable, regardless of how much you already know. Stay teachable. This is the first element. Humility is the first element of becoming right with God and then with others. How do we humble ourselves? Connect with God, thank Him. Be interested in others. Admit when you are wrong. Sacrifice for others. Ask for advice. Encourage others with compliments. Listen more, talk less. And then the rewards that God promises. Honor. You'll be lifted up. Riches, honor, and life. Abundant life. Wisdom. Forgiveness and healing. Grace. The power to do what's right. And you will learn God's ways. I share with you a poem written by Bob Gotti. Two emotions deep down inside are those of humility and pride. They produce what men may see in the life of both you and me. A haughty spirit can sure reside in a heart that's filled with pride. A humble spirit is in you and me. When you're filled with humility, you can lift yourself up with pride, but God's word is not denied, and God's word is clear and loud. God will humble all the proud. Men may believe that they are wise, but that is only in their eyes. For all of pride, my dear friend, by the Lord shall be condemned. Men who are humble and meek, by proud men considered weak, by the Lord are never despised, but truly favored in God's eyes. The Lord will exalt humble men, for this is in His word, my friend. They will be lifted up by the Lord, as by God they're not ignored. On the cross there was no pride, as Jesus Christ, our Savior, died. Christ had displayed for us humility as the Savior of all humanity. The eternal God, far from weak, was to all men humble and meek. God's example is for all to behold, and His word will not grow old. Friend, pride can be a hindrance to the life Christ has given to us. Pride will never be used by God, but it shall be judged by His rod. Allow Christ's humble spirit within, then you shall be used by Him. As only a meek and humble life truly displays the power of Christ. May God grant to each of us the reminders this week to enact those steps of humility in our life. Men, it starts with us. It starts with us. God's asked us to be the spiritual leaders of our home. And that function of spiritually leading is one in which we are the first to recognize our dependence on God and our need to follow His instructions to humble ourselves. So often, men are perceived as proud. It's our opportunity to turn that around. And I trust these seven steps, and I'm sure you're aware of many more. I went and Googled, and man, there's some that are 15 steps and 20 steps and how to be humble. But start with seven, and start with God. Acknowledge your dependence on God. Every day, lead your family in prayer. Lead them in the reading of God's word for the sake of seeking God's instruction for life. And watch how God will begin to move in ways that will battle the forces of evil. It's a battle. There's no one strike fixes all. It's a constant battle in our life. But it starts with following these instructions. And today, if you aren't even a follower of God, I invite you to take that first step and acknowledge your need of Him in your life. God, I'm a sinner. I humble myself and I acknowledge my need of a Savior to become right with you and start the journey of a relationship with the most amazing, loving God that we can't even fathom. And watch how He'll begin to bless your life in ways you couldn't even imagine, but He has promised. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. I pray, oh God, that you would help us as fathers not to come across as know-it-alls or super authoritarian, but to come across as servants, humbly submitted to your leadership in our life, acknowledging our needs of you and the blessings that come from others around us. And Lord, as we do, we look forward to you doing good things in our own life, in the life of our families, in the life of our communities, in our nation. Oh God, how we pray that as a nation, starting with us as believers, there would be a new initiative to humble ourselves before you, that we could experience that healing and forgiveness that you have promised. And we give you thanks. And we give you praise for life, for eternal life, and for the prescribed life you've left for us in your word. Bless each father and the fathers to be that are coming in, that we would have the joy of seeing you do great things through our lives. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.